flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, my friends, we are halfway home on a Monday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I'm Woodsy, that's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Benjamin R. Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. And, you know, my wife expressed a little bit of levity while we were at fantasy camp, too. She tweeted something to the effect of, man, as much as I get bummed out, you know, about everything that's going on right now in Padres land, and we all just want peace and harmony, and it's already going to be hard enough to beat that team up north, right, with what they're putting together. It's already going to be hard enough. Let's not make it harder on ourselves and beat the crap out of each other in the fan base and take shots at each other in the media and things like that. It's already going to be hard enough. But she said, as soon as I get bummed out, I think about the guys that we have coming back. I think about sweet little Jackson Merrill. And I feel the same way.
This is Jackson Merrill.
Hi, Jackson. It was good seeing you at fantasy camp. And yeah, man, of course you're okay. And it's your right to be excited about watching that kid play baseball every day. You're right to be excited about watching a healthy Manny play, to watch a healthy Fernando play. You're hoping, you're on your knees and you're praying for some sort of Xander Bogaerts-like season when he was winning Silver Sluggers with the Boston Red Sox. You're praying and hoping that you get production from a guy like him. You're praying and hoping that the starting rotation can figure it out and stay healthy. You like the bullpen. You're excited about the bullpen. But yeah, man, I'm the levity. Nobody really wants to talk about levity right now. Nobody really wants to talk about it's all emotion. It's just all raw emotion. And I certainly get it because I feel it too. I was so, honestly, yesterday, I had a long conversation with my wife and I go, this is, and I'm with you guys in a text thread. I said, this sucks. This is not fun. Talking about baseball is supposed to be fun. You know, I hated sitting in that next room over there and playing M83 and Walk the Moon. It was peaceful. I was such at peace. I was bored out of my mind. All right, here's Mumford and Sons. I was so bored, but I missed the boredom because talking about this stuff to get ready for a season, you know, a week out of FanFest, a few weeks out of spring training, it sucks. There's just no two ways to look at it.
I don't want to be acting like I'm got my head in the sand or blowing smoke. I get that the Padres have not improved this offseason. They've lost a couple of key players. They haven't made any big additions. But am I totally off when I say It's only the Dodgers that have really lapped the Padres, and they've lapped the field in the National League in terms of talent. Are there?
We talked a little.
Do you feel
bit.
Like? I mean, like the Giants who won 80 games last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Signed Willy Adames.
Yeah.
You know,
good.
They've gotten better, but they haven't. They haven't like lapped the Padres. The Diamondbacks are a good team.
They're a good team.
They're going for it. They're a real threat. But I don't see them as like head and shoulders better than the Padres. You know, I look at the Brewers. I look at, you know, the Cubs are kind of going. They were 83 win. They've made some nice moves. Yeah, I lump all of these teams together. And the Dodgers are in their own
universe. They're in a stratosphere.
Are in the universe with the other teams, the 89-win Braves. The Mets got Juan Soto. They won 89 wins. They're absolutely a threat. But
yep.
I still lump the Padres in with all these teams.
Well, you're not the only one. I mean, I saw on Friday some power rankings or something. It's funny. Woods, who hates power rankings, now bringing up power rankings. But I disagreed with them. It had the Padres as like number five. And I looked at that and I go, I know that I'm enveloped in pain and doomerism right now. But I said, I can't see how a logical person could look at this team as it stands today and say they're the fifth best team in baseball. Am I insane? I don't feel that way. I would put them, I'd put them 12. I'd say that's fairly accurate based on what we have. And it's not a lack of trust.
Which would still be a playoff team.
Yeah, it could still be a playoff team. So I just, the emotion of it all is just tough. Now, you just mentioned, they signed Willy Adames and they went out and got Corbin Burns. What have we done? We've done nothing. We've lost our heart and soul in Jerickson Profar. We went to ARB with Michael King. It's got the fan base in shambles. We're talking about trading Dylan Thief.
Final.
Fast, Paul. That was fast.
Dylan Thief.
I broke my back.
Thief.
Spinal.
Dylan Thief, by the way. We're talking about trading Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez. And yeah, man, if those things happen, it's going to be rough.
I mean, the goal going into this season.
Pull it.
The goal is to be somewhere between the second and seventh best.
The second and the seventh.
Seventh best NL team.
Yes.
And make the playoffs.
Are we there today? I don't think we are.
Are there seven other NL teams that are better than the Padres right now?
As it stands? Yeah, you have no idea. My gut tells me the answer is yes. My gut just says yes. But I had them at 81 wins last year, and they won 93. So I do believe in our manager. I believe in our coaching staff. These are all positives.
What's up, my dudes? How you doing?
I'm good, Shilty. If I sit down and do the old pros and cons list, which I've done, mentally at least, there are some pros on there. One pro went to Atlanta. There's one fewer pro than there used to be, literally and figuratively. There are some pros on that. We're not the Marlins, for the love of God, but that's also not the window we want to be in either. We've both spent the same in free agency, by the way, as I mentioned on Friday.
I mean, the day we come in and start saying, hey, at least we're not the Marlins,
it's a tough look.
I think I'm out.
So the thing is, though, Benny, you mentioned a couple of these moves that the other teams have made. Wouldn't it go a long way to get just one? Wouldn't it be some sort of like Bactine on a cut, some sort of salve to just get one kind of fairly premier free agent that you thought would help? I think you'd start seeing the shift on Twitter and social media instead of, oh, we're dead, we're toast, to, okay, we got this guy, we ride. I think you start to see a lot more we rides.
Emotionally?
Yes. Emotionally, yes.
In actual roster improvement, I mean, I don't think there's anything out there.
That's the problem.
There's more than a very marginal
improvement.
Correct. You can't fundamentally change what this team
not
is.
Not with what's left out there,
nor
in my opinion.
Nor were you ever going to. Even if you brought back Profar and Kim
and Higgy.
You were still not going to fundamentally change much, from what the team was going to be. Those are still, we're still going to be the, sixth, ninth, and, 10th best players on the roster. You still have the main core that you were going to have. You'd still have
The complementary pieces are not there right now. The depth is a huge concern.
And I still think you have to work at some point here to, you know, replace some of what you lost on the edges. You know, you still need a left fielder. You still need another catcher.
You want to replace them in the aggregate is what you want to do. That's what you're trying
but
to
you're
do
not,
here.
You're not replacing Jason Giambi in the aggregate. I mean, you're replacing Ha-Sung Kim in the aggregate.
Yeah.
It's not as big of an ask.
Turkson Profar and Kyle Higashioka and Donovan Solano and David Peralta and Joe Musgrove, who you lost for the year.
Somebody did the war comparison, and we've lost 10, 12, 15, 10 to 15. You got to figure out a way to get that number down a little bit. And then, again, hoping for more war from guys like Xander and Crony and a healthy Manny.
Healthy Arise.
And Jackson doing, God, even close to what he did last year in his rookie year. So that's the thing is, if you look at it as a math problem, we are in the negative, right? We've lost way more war than we've gained. And you got to figure out how to get that number.
The Padres realized that as well.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
But just signing someone to say you've signed someone to appease the fan base is rarely like smart baseball.
Well, no,
it may be smart PR.
No, I'm saying at this point, just one kind of move that would help is just a little bit of a salve on the cut. You know, it's like I cut my hand. I put this on there. I'm going to bandage it up and feel a little bit better. But we have really nothing to look forward to right now. You know, off season wise, we've done nothing. So,
I mean, we've got about 2 weeks until pitchers and catchers. Yep. A little over 2 weeks until pitchers
and catchers
report.
But holy cow, with all this stuff going on, do we feel like it's going to get done?
You know, obviously the Padres are not going to make a massive increase in payroll between now and the start of the season. That is clear. Can they improve the team between now and the start of the season? I think they can. I think there are ways to do it. Even if you do trade a Cease or an Arise, if you make the right kind of moves and add some players, you may be able to improve the team between now and then. We'll find out. We'll certainly see how, A.J. Preller had to work hard with his hands tied behind his back last offseason.
Can he do it again?
Can he do it again?
Is he going to get the chance to do it again? Is he going to get the chance, the legit chance, to go out and do it again? We'll see.
I mean, what chance did he have last year?
What do you mean?
I mean,
he was able to go out and trade Juan Soto.
Yes.
He was able to go out and sign.
Yeah.
Guys, you know, again, Solano, Peralta, he was able to go out and trade.
Would you
his
agree that like Juan Soto
Arise
was a bigger player on the team than either Arise or Cease?
Worth four of them.
Yet, yet they traded Juan Soto and became a better team.
Correct.
After he was traded.
Correct.
Is it not possible that they could trade one of those guys and become a better team after the trade? It depends on who they acquire.
It depends on what he gets back. It's crazy to me. Nothing's happened yet, but. You know, maybe again, he hasn't had the deal that he wants yet, but we'll see.
All right. We will, obviously, we got some phone calls on the line. We can get to those, although we're supposed to do Take on Woods coming up next.
Let's
so
do the phone calls. We can push Take on Woods.
All right, we can push Take on Woods. We
don't have any guests
last week. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. All right. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973 if you want to join us and continue our discussion here. First, though, I want to tell you about Prize Picks. It's the best place to get real money sports action right now with over 10 million members and billions in dollars awarded winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy accessible to everyone. And with the big game coming up in less than 2 weeks, you can already start setting your lineups for your favorite Kansas City, Philadelphia players, looking ahead to what you've got. There are options all over the place. Saquon Barkley, rushing touchdowns, Travis Kelce, receiving yards. You can put them into your lineups between two and six players and win up to 1,000 times your money on Prize Picks. I'm setting lineups each week. College basketball is big for me. Maybe you're a pro basketball fan. They've got daily options to set lineups there as well. You can even mix sports together. If you're watching a football game and a basketball game, combine them together, create your own lineups. And when you sign up at the Prize Picks website, download the app and use the code KWFN to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly using the code KWFN when you play your first $5 lineup at Prize Picks. Really easy, really simple. You get your winnings quickly. I've already downloaded some of my winnings to Venmo. You can use MasterCard as well. Really easy to set up your account and get playing today with Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Woods, you put the call out for calls.
Yes.
And we've got some on the line. 833-288-0973. I'm getting blasted by a few people on Twitter. That's okay. I, you know, I'm not trying to make the argument that we should all be thrilled about the Padres offseason. It's not a lot of fun. But I do believe the Padres are still on a similar talent level to other teams in the NL that aren't named the Dodgers. And now it'll be decided, you know, we'll see what happens on the field.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely less margin for error. You know, Padres, you know, in the last couple of years, they could survive an injury to, you know, Tatis
Someone.
For a couple of months,
yes.
to Xander Bogaerts for a couple of months.
The depth
and still,
is toast you know, right now.
They had
now.
Better depth. Now they don't. Now the margin for error is a lot smaller. But, as you said, they get good seasons, you know, from some of their star players. Still, we'll have, I think, a pretty good year.
I mean, it's a lot, you know, I think every fan base is going through this right now, going, well, if so-and-so, you know, if Acuna comes back and Strider comes back and everyone's healthy, great, they're fine. There's only one team in baseball that can withstand Tyler Glasnow's arm exploding and Shohei Ohtani's arm popping out of socket. It's the Dodgers. They're 9 deep in the rotation. They're 30 deep in the bullpen. They're deep at every position. There's one team that can withstand injuries that will most definitely come. I'm very worried about the depth on this team.
Me too.
Xander gets hurt,
give AJ Preller some truth serum. He's probably worried
about
it.
He's terrified.
As well.
The depth, I mean, so much has to break right for you to win a World Series. So much has to break right for you to get into the playoffs. And right now, you try to go into the season with as much depth as you can. They haven't added a ton other than minor league depth. So that's where we're at.
All right. 833-288-0973. Look who answered the call. Got to meet Jeff out at Fantasy Camp.
Yeah.
He was out there last week. Got Tier 1 Jeff in here on 97. 7-3 The Fan. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Loved meeting you last week. That was getting a bear hug from Woods was probably one of the top 10 moments of my life. I definitely didn't cry later. But two quick things. One, we're all 0-0 right now. I'm tired of the doomsday. No one has won anything. No one has won the World Series in 2025. We're dead even. Anything can happen. Two, have we considered that maybe the fact that we're not making a lot of moves right now is a strategy, and that if we can hang around until the deadline and then add payroll, maybe that's what the front office is thinking?
Potentially, yeah, potentially. I think, you know, there's a couple of different ways to look at it. And I think Kevin Acey, I think he pissed some people off yesterday when he talked about, you know, January anger is misplaced. Bro, this is not... And I like Kevin, but this is not I'm mad in January because my team hasn't done anything. This is, I'm mad in January because our owner passed away. I'm mad in January because there's a lawsuit going on in the state of Texas. I'm mad in January because the fan base is cannibalizing itself. I'm mad in January because we also haven't made any moves despite all of that other stuff that's going on. So I think it's okay to be angry in January if you're a San Diego Padres fan. I also think it's okay to be angry in January if you're a Seattle Mariners fan who doesn't have unrest going on and they still haven't improved the offense there. I think it's okay to be mad in January if you're the Baltimore Orioles and you're one of those fans with, by the way, shiny new ownership that is so excited to allegedly spend money, but you let Corbin Burns walk and you've lost in the first round of the playoffs the last 2 years. Why didn't we add to make... I think January anger is absolutely in the right spot.
Well, I think when, like, Kevin Acey makes the point that, you know, Dylan Cease wasn't acquired until late March.
Sure.
Luis Arraez didn't come until May. But I don't see the Padres having the capital to make
Correct.
Those kind of moves.
Yeah, they don't have that capital.
They used a lot of their minor leaguers to already make those trades.
And now you're talking about trading two of those guys, potentially, that you use that capital to get...
For
more minor leaguers or depth pieces or whatever. So that's where the January anger comes from. By the way, speaking of Jeff, real quick, You know that guy went to fantasy camp? He had never played baseball in his entire life, ever.
That's bold.
It's insane.
Not even like Little League.
No, he never played baseball before. And he's out there playing left. He's making, he robbed me of one. He's pitching. He was having the time of his life. So it was just a, it was like inspirational. It made me remember. And then I got pissed off at him because he's fast and athletic. I'm like, you dummy. What were you doing? What were you running hurdles or something? Like, go play baseball when you were a kid. What were you doing? He was really good. He'd never swung a bat before.
Jeff, I'm glad you got your bear hug from Woods and your tepid fist bump from me.
Yeah, very tepid.
As we tend to do. Let's go to Alex. You are next up here on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, buddy.
Hey, listen. Yeah, I'm not sure that we're, like, looking at this in the right way.
All right, shoot.
Like, when we got ownership problems, that's obviously a fact. But just getting into the playoffs is, it's like such a low expectation for the amount of money that we've invested. So,
do you?
I'm not sure.
When you say getting, because yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, and I hear that argument a lot. Of like, no, we should win the West. Is that a reasonable request as it stands today, in your opinion, as a Padres fan?
Well, the way I see it is that we shouldn't like be trying to just get in to the playoffs. I think we need to like expect more.
Okay. I think I know where your head's at.
Yeah,
I know exactly what you're saying. I don't disagree with you.
The view around Major League Baseball nowadays is that all you can control, like go back to Moneyball, all you can control is putting a team together that gets into the playoffs. And once you get to the playoffs, it's kind of random, some random chance.
So
are you guys
random.
Hot? Are they healthy? Do you get good pitching? Do you not get good pitching? I'm not saying that you should be happy that the Padres sneak in and get swept in the wild card series 2-0. I think what they're saying is if you get in the playoffs, you've got a chance to win the World Series.
And if you don't.
83 teams have won, the World Series. Just because you win your division and win 108 games doesn't guarantee you anything either.
Yeah.
You can't win the World Series unless you get into the playoffs.
Correct. And I setting that as a goal. Okay, I mean, you can go either way. I mean, do Pirates fans really think they're going to go out and win the World Series? Do they? No, but do I think that the San Diego Padres, with a couple of moves, could make the playoffs? Yes, and once you make the playoffs, anything can happen. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to ride up on the big board, win the West, win the World Series, fine. I'm okay with that. It should be your goal. But I think as trying to speak realistically about the team, I think the AL West is won, in my opinion. It's already won.
NL West.
The NL West. That's the second time I've done that. The NL West is already won.
I think Mike Schilt has an interesting, like, what does he do in spring training?
No kidding.
Like, hey, we're going to go out and win the West. I mean, I think he gets some eye rolls, you know, and like, really? We're gonna go out and beat that Dodgers team. It's an odd spot to be in.
I mean,
all right, we're going for the wild card. It's very, very tough.
I think, you know, in baseball too, let's win today and we'll see what happens tomorrow. I mean, we'll try to win this game today and go for it. But I think if you're setting goals, yeah, of course. You want to win the World Series. And can you? Yes, but not without making the playoffs first. So I just think it's one of those kind of you have to say it. Is it lip service? Maybe.
All right, I'm not only getting ripped for my Padres takes, I'm also getting ripped for my Chiefs takes.
Yeah, as you should
well.
Have, I think.
I want to talk about the controversy, the fourth down play.
Well, there's a few.
Everyone was discussing. Yeah, there were a few. We can get into some NFL talk coming up here next on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, listen, what would you do with an extra $75,000 right now, or even a couple hundred thousand? If you own a home, you can get that money in less than a week with Loan Pronto. It's Woodsy here wanted to tell you that they are the leader in quickly converting your home's equity into cold hard cash. You can pay off all your credit cards or start your home remodel. Loan Pronto has several easy options to let you access the cash from your home. There's virtually no paperwork, no cumbersome process, no junk fees, and often no appraisal. Average homeowner now has over $300,000 in equity. That's your money, guys. Use it. One client got $150,000 out, paid off the credit card, and two car loans, personal loan, cutting their monthly expenses by $1,500. So you are listening right now. You're home. You can get approved in as little as a day. Act now with no hard credit pull up front. LoanPronto.com, 619-207-4336. Get the money you need for anything. 619-207-4336 or LoanPronto.com. Equal housing lender. NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval. NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
You have a slight fetish for it. I really do. I'd like to get you on my couch sometime.
I know, but the fix is in for the Kansas City Chiefs.
No,
a million times this week.
No, I think that you have a sick fetish for getting dragged online. I go the opposite way. I've learned that the key to peace and tranquility is never read the comments. And I'm learning that. I'm not great at it, but I'm about 50% better than I was 2 years ago. And if I'll tweet something, saw some guy going at me this weekend. And I didn't engage. And I thought, and it bugged me. I'm not going to say it didn't bug me, but I didn't engage. And that's a big step forward for me. I think that you like it secretly.
I don't like getting dragged. Not a masochist.
I beg to differ.
But I do.
Why did you ask me to drip hot candle wax on your back when we were at fantasy camp?
I do feel
just to help them get to sleep. He said,
yeah. "I do feel that sometimes
they feel right
the
at home.
Yeah, they can feel at home."
I do feel sometimes the unpopular take is the correct one. And
well, no, you feel like your take is always right.
Well, everyone feels like their own take is always right.
I don't know about that.
Why would you have the take if you thought it was wrong? No one thinks. You know what? I've got a really wrong take that I'm just going to spew out there.
See, I can't discern.
Some people do. They've made very lucrative.
They've made millions of dollars on that. And I do feel sometimes you're.
Do the Chiefs get the benefit of the officiating in the National Football League?
I think the answer is unquestionably yes.
Oh, absolutely, it is.
Is that new in sports? No, it's not. It's not.
Most championship, you know. Big star teams tend to get the benefit of the doubt. You'd be surprised. If you look at the stats the last couple of years, you know who gets better ball strike calls for their hitters than any other team in baseball? You know who gets more calls in their favor than any other team in baseball from umpires? It's the Padres. Padres really? Had more bad calls in their favor.
I didn't hitters, feel like it.
I know it doesn't feel like it, but you know, if you look at the pitch tracking data, that's the thing. When it's your team, when you don't like the team, you always say, "Oh,
they get all the calls."
When it's your
team,
you blew
my mind. I'm going back that way. I'm going back now. That's accurate.
Yeah,
really accurate. Can you post your sources?
I read that recently, and it's marginal. It's going to go up and down every year. It's a little bit random, but Padres tend to get more calls at home plate than other teams, especially their batters. Manny, Tatis, Xander, umpires see a star like Patrick Mahomes, probably tend to give them the benefit of the doubt sometimes. That is not a crazy take. So when you're out there saying the Chiefs are getting some good calls, that is true.
But are you telling people, to kind of grin and bear it? I mean,
I don't think the NFL is egregiously cheating because they want the Chiefs to win, though. Why would they want the Chiefs to win? They don't make more money if the Chiefs win.
No, they're like clean house on the Super Bowl regardless.
Seems like they're just angering people. So why not? Hey, if everyone wanted Buffalo to win, and it seemed like everyone outside of Kansas City was cheering for Buffalo, if I was running a business and I could really, pull the puppet strings and I'm manipulating everything, wouldn't you want to make people happy and go, all right, let's make sure Buffalo wins this game and make everyone really happy and everyone wants to see the Bills win the Super Bowl? Why would you want to make everyone angry and tell, hey, we got to make sure the Chiefs are in there in that Super Bowl again? We can't let the Buffalo Bills get in. Are you kidding me? Everyone wanted to see the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl. I don't think there's any nefarious plot to help the Chiefs. I think, like human nature, they get some calls because, they're used to getting calls, and referees are used to giving them some calls, and that's just how it's worked the last couple of years.
It's pretty wild, though. I mean, you guys all saw Adam Schefter's tweet yesterday, right? And he's gotten crushed for this. For all those complaining that Patrick Mahomes gets too many calls, relief soon could be on the way. NFL Replay Assist is expected to expand this offseason into plays that could include the quarterback slide. He listed, you know, some numbers as far as the calls that they've gotten. Look, there's a couple of ones. The thing about the NFL, and really Major League Baseball umpiring too, is I think consistency is always key. If you're consistent with calls, okay, I think fans can live with that. The one that I didn't really notice in the moment, because I was busy with my kids, but I went back and watched it. The Travis Kelce taunting penalty was insane. You guys saw, you can't do what he did. Guy catches the touchdown, and Kelce runs right up to him and gets right, sticks his face right in his face and dances around, points at him, taunting, clearly taunting. Then Oliver, I think, from the Bills came up and put his head on Kelce's face mask. Kelce flops and he gets the flag. And I'm like, the ref is right there. He's right there. It's these little weird calls. It's that first down. Like, everybody thinks Josh Allen got that first down. That changed the game, man.
So
that's a turnover on downs.
That was the call that everyone was losing their mind over. I saw a lot of takes on Twitter, though, that even from some people who said, I was pulling for the Bills, but he had the ball in his right hand. I don't think he got it quite to the 40.
Listen, when Sammy Leavitt tweets out, that's a first down, guys, what are we doing?
Ultimately, it's impossible. It's even impossible for the officials who are there to tell within an inch or two of how far that ball advanced. And we go back, and Andrew Brandt, you know, former Green Bay Packers president, now, you know, NFL media, Sports Illustrated, Business of Sports, says it's still amazing that a league with a $22 billion annual revenue stream measures first downs in 2025 with two refs figuring out where to spot the ball from 25 yards away and a couple of guys with two sticks and a chain.
Yeah, it is wild. It is wild. But I don't know, man. Like, they're just, these are such huge calls in the moment. And the other thing, too, I thought about it. I mean, I bet on the games. I had the Bills plus two. You know, what'd they lose by? They lost by three. Like, it's really, really tough. And that's on me. I got to be smarter and better about knowing, hey, man, it's the Chiefs at home in the playoffs. Lay the 2 points. They're going to get a couple of calls that swing it in their favor. And I'm not a big conspiracy theory tinfoil hat guy. I don't think it's because of Taylor Swift, as Daniel in the chat says. I just think, like you said, I watched Michael Jordan play. I watched Jordan get calls. I was there in Chicago when they were on their run. Yeah, but
I'm a Lakers fan. Lakers got all kinds of calls.
Of course.
Kobe got tons of calls.
Of course, but guys were also very, very good, much like the Chiefs.
Yes.
They're not a bad football team that wins because they get calls. They're a great football team who can almost feel like it's easy money betting on them. That's why you're picking the Eagles. You're high on the Eagles. What's the early line on it?
Gotta be two. Chiefs by two.
Chiefs minus two.
I'm hammering that because of what I just saw yesterday. I'm hammering that. I mean, those are game-changing calls yesterday, and non-calls, as in the Travis Kelce situation.
I think there are some logistics that people haven't considered. Everyone says, microchip the football, and, you know, it has a grid, and it shows you exactly how far the football advanced. Well, the football's not like a perfect circle. It's, you know, you don't know, even with a microchip in the center. Now, did the nose of the football get where it was supposed to get across the goal line, or was it does the center of the football now have to get there? If you change the rules, put a microchip right in the center.
Just put it on each end of the football.
Okay, but what happens if the football's sideways? Then the bulging end of the football is the one that actually got further. Make it the center of the football, there's a microchip, and that's where the ball is spotted, where the center of the football gets to.
No, but they measure the cone. They don't put the ball oblong. They don't put it sideways when they measure.
Well, you'd have to change the rules. If you were going to microchip the football, it's how far the microchip gets would have to be the new rule. So wherever it is, you know, you could put it at the two ends and just say, hey, whatever end got the furthest, that's where it is.
That's where it is.
Now, there's also always going to be the human element. What happens if a guy runs to the 10, but stutter steps back to the 11. Officials have to decide
where
is it really as far as the forward progress said? When did we blow the whistle? Did he get another yard after the whistle was blown? Does the chip know when exactly the whistle is blown and that's where it's dead and where the And there's a lot of logistics that would go into a microchipped football. Is the technology good enough to even accurately down to an inch or two show where the football would be on a field?
Will it be better than what we have right now?
Probably.
The answer is unequivocally yes.
How about the other game and the other weird rules issue that we saw in the Commanders Eagles game at the goal line?
My God.
I want to talk about,
that one. Coming up,
we have the audio. I'll try to.
Coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Close if you don't
know. Now, Morgan Wallen.
Just guess.
Luis in the chat says, Ben does not comprehend how microchips work. Ed Money says, Ben is a sports anchor. He is not tech savvy. I'll let both of you know. I know exactly how microchips work. Magic. They work by magic.
Wow.
How else can something that tiny run my computer other than magic?
It's got to be a better way. Got to be a better way for spotting the football. There just has to be. There has to be. And it does. It looks so antiquated. Then again, I also feel if there's technology in place to make the home plate umpire's life easier and better, why wouldn't you take it and run with it, even if it's imperfect? It's very imperfect as it stands today. And I, as an umpire, would be elated if they said, Woodsy, got a new thing. Yes, you're going to still be behind home plate, but guess what? You don't have to call balls and strikes. They're going to put it up on the big board. Do you know how happy I'd be? You can get drunk before games. Nobody's going to care. You can literally, like, I had 14 drinks last night, but doesn't matter. Verlander's on the mound, and it's going to tell me what I'm doing. I just got to get through these 9 innings, and I'm good to go. I just don't understand why you wouldn't take the technology.
Lieutenant Frank Drevin would be 100% accurate behind the plate.
100%.
So the other rules issue, which I had no idea either.
This is unbelievable.
What was going on in the Eagles Commanders game at the goal line when the Eagles are getting closer and closer and the Commanders
keep
jumping off sides trying to stop the tush push, and you know there's no other really way to stop it other than just guessing correctly and timing perfectly, and offsides one, offsides two,
leaping over the defensive line and the offensive line, just flying over both sides.
Sean Hockley then starts making the announcements. Hey, you keep doing this, it's going to be a personal foul penalty on sportsmanlike conduct. Then he goes, do it again. We could just give the Eagles points.
I got some of the audio because Gene Steratore came on. I think it was Gene, right? Came on to the broadcast and said exactly that, and then it happened.
Well, interestingly enough, you got a situation here. If these are deliberate, and you heard Sean Hockley say that it could lead to an unsportsmanlike conduct call, it could also lead to awarding a score if it happens multiple times like this.
It's incredible.
So we'll hear what Sean has to say.
Encroachment, defense number 93. Washington has been advised that at some point the referee can award a score if this type of behavior happens again. For now, it's a replay of second down.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was the tone.
It's how he said it, like a dad.
Big third grade teacher energy.
Yeah.
It's like, if you don't quit this behavior soon, I'm going to take the football. There's no more football. You guys can't play anymore.
Brian says in the chat, at the end of the day, the games are played by humans. It should be officiated by humans. Sure. Yeah, you can still have officiating by humans. And that's why you have holding calls and pass interference. They're not going to do that with a chip or anything like that. But when it comes to things like in tennis, in, out, and when it comes to things like ball strike, when it comes to things like spotting a ball, if the technology can make it more accurate, you take that and you run with it.
So the interesting thing about the offsides, you know, goal line awarding a score rule that I had never heard of before yesterday either, like the rest of you, is it immediately made perfect sense to me when he explained it. Let's say it comes down, let's Super Bowls, down to the last, you know, and the Eagles have the ball at the 1 foot line, and it's first down. And the only way you can stop and win the Super Bowl is by stopping
them. Stop the tush push.
Why wouldn't you just guess every time? There's no punishment.
No punishment.
For guessing. It just keeps getting
the ball from the 1 yard line to the half yard line.
It's an imperceptible penalty. But let's say after the sixth one and you keep jumping, finally, like, the center twitches. And then what? It's a 5 yard penalty back the other way. Changes the game completely.
Right.
So there's an incentive for the defense to just
dive.
Continue to take offsides, diving penalties. Maybe you force a turnover. Maybe eventually the home team, you know, the offensive team commits a penalty and then they move it back. So why wouldn't you just do that over and over and over and over again?
So and there's,
the NFL had to have some sort of way to stop a defensive team from doing that at the goal line.
There's an argument to be made, and I did see this yesterday. A lot of people calling for the banning of the tush push. All right, fine. Like, if that's, they change the rules all the time in the NFL.
But then what are you going to ban? Quarterback sneaks?
That's the thing. Yeah. But like, you look how the Eagles execute their tush push, and then you look at how the Bills try to execute theirs. I'd say just get better at doing it, because Josh Allen absolutely screwed himself on at least three occasions yesterday by them not being able to execute a tush push with this behemoth of a quarterback. This big, strong, burly quarterback couldn't get an inch, couldn't get a yard, whatever it was. I would say get better at it until they ban it.
I'd say if you're facing the Eagles, can't let them into third and less than one, fourth and less than one situation.
Crazy. It's crazy.
If you want to beat them, you know, that's basically what you got to do.
Satan's Blowfish says the Eagles make it look unstoppable. The Bills make it look like a dumb play call. That's exactly right. Exactly.
And
right.
I would say that, you know, a big difference going back to the Chiefs-Bills game, coaching was definitely in favor of the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah. Dude, their defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, is absolutely the best in the business. I mean, he is the best in the business. What he had dialed up in certain instances last night, think about the last play.
The last fourth down.
My
had saved something for that last play.
My God. The pressure was on Allen like this.
Because it was something they hadn't really seen the whole game.
Yep.
And then they dialed it up, and Allen, you know, is running for his life, chucks it up. Prayer.
A duck.
And amazingly, Dalton Kincaid was actually there. And
I've seen
this debate as well. Did Dalton Kincaid drop that ball? Was that a ball he should have caught?
Kind of.
I'd say he's lucky to get a hand on it. He was coming back. It was floating through the
four
air.
Four Chiefs
defenders
around him,
in front of him.
But did it go right through his arms?
It did.
Kind of, yeah.
I mean,
it kind of did.
He'd tell you he should have caught it, even though it wasn't one of those design plays like he runs a five-yard comeback and it hits him right in the hands and he boots it.
Like, if you want to compare it to the Mark Andrews drop
different.
From the week before,
yeah, different.
I thought that was much more egregious. Like,
yeah, that was a perfectly executed play. Right where it was supposed to be.
Yep.
Yeah, you catch that one. This was a completely busted play that just happened to end up in a spot where, yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of guys do make that catch. NFL play, is it an easy catch? No.
When you have a
he's
broken
diving.
Down play like that and Josh
you're coming
Allen
back
is
to
falling
the ball.
Down and still gets it in anywhere even close to you,
oh,
and you get your hands on it, you're like, oh.
I go back to the details that the Chiefs are so good at. Again, go back and watch the first series for each team. Watch how Josh Allen, he broke a big run. Did you watch how Josh Allen carried the football? Josh Allen carried the football way out here, and I'm like, bro, you are begging.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't turn the ball over.
I know, yeah. I know, but they're the details. Patrick Mahomes, his team, I mean, they're locked in, man. They are locked in. I don't see how there's any way the Eagles win this one. I really don't. I mean, I've got to get in now while the points are still pretty good. I think it's an easy win. I think they're going to three-peat.
I think the Eagles have a solidly more talented overall roster.
Crazy.
I think we'll see.
I mean, the
Chiefs still have the coaching advantage and
yep.
the Patrick Mahomes. So, and they're not out of it. But I could see the Eagles getting up 10 and not letting it come down to the final play. This segment of Ben and Woods brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. They're recruiting professionals utilizing award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. Don't forget, our first name in our biggest fan contest is coming up at the top of the hour. So if you've put your name in at the website, 973thefansd.com/biggestfan, be listening when we come back to chance to qualify for the night in the Odyssey Suite at Petco Park. We'll come back with more. We still have to get to take on Woods in his final hour
oh,
as
yeah.
well, and a Rondo report. So a busy final hour coming up on 973 The Fan.